This episode of Tidbits Pod was recorded on Sunday, the 12th of April, 2026. And like you're soon to find out, it's all about the Penghu Islands. That's Penghu, not this guy. Chums, and welcome. I always try and make that greeting nice and relaxed, but I've been told in the last few it sounds like I'm being inconvenienced. I'm like, oh, all right chums, you know, I mean, throw away. But I don't mean it to sound like that, but it's hard to judge the tone of the beginnings, you know what I mean? And Tidbits Pod, you know it by now, we have there's a weird intro, maybe like a, you know, a little song or something. And then the bell rings. And then nothing. All right, chums. You know what I mean? It's a very cold open. But, All right, chums. And welcome aboard. Good to see you. Mi casa su casa. Pour yourself a drink. If you need a shit, use my toilet. You know, that's exactly what it's there for. And, can you believe that? I actually have a machine in my house that you can shit in, and then you just push a button and it just takes all the shits to the sea or wherever. So, I'm living well, guys. I'm sat underneath a nice shrine here in Taichung Park, or a tiny temple. Yeah! As we've started calling them. And this one, slap of the thigh, I'm going to talk about my birthday. Hooray! Merry Tidmas, everyone. That's me. I've gone around the sun another time. And yeah, that's right. I recently had a birthday. And yes, I am old as fuck. Yay! So, well, think of fuck, get an image of that in your head, and yes, I am as old as that. And for my birthday, I went out to the Penghu Islands, which is quite exciting. I hadn't heard of them before I came to Taiwan, and this is going to be a TID talk all about them. So, DJ, hit the jingle. Here we go. TID Talks. Boom! So, everybody, welcome to TID Talks. Which, let's be honest, it does sound a lot like the same ambience as a normal episode. But this is the feature where I talk about a place that I've been to. A sort of a travel log, as it were. And remember, with the travel logs, all I can tell you is my experience. So if you're interested in going yourself, just read between the lines of this chat and what I've been saying and whatnot, and then you can see if it's for you. I only say that because I remember once, maybe I've said this before, like back when I was a travel agent, back in the good old days in Hayes Galleria, I remember there was this dopey lad sitting in front of me. He couldn't decide where to go. And he was like, oh, what would I like more, Japan or Mexico? And I mean, you know, what else? He said something like, what's better for someone that likes culture? I like culture. What's better, Japan or Mexico? And it's like, you know what I mean? Like, how are you meant to answer that? You know what I mean? I don't know the interests or whatever. And even if I do, you can't really compare cultures or countries like that. But, So in that same way, I went to Penghu. And the islands are out They're out in they're west of Taiwan's fashionable. Actually, yeah, they're west of the fashionable mainland. They're out in the water. So you'd think, how the hell have you got there and stuff? But it was fucking easy, actually. So back about a month or two, I went to Lambai earlier. The islands of Xiaoliuqiu. And we took the ferry. And I remember getting off that ferry, and I was like, right, that was good, but it was a little bit of a shaker, you know. So, and as Penghu is further as well, we thought that a flight would be wiser, you know, and we only had a short time, so it's using the time better. And this actually as well was the first time that we'd flown from Taichung Airport. And I think that's where I'll start the journey. From the trip to the airport, and then I'll just talk to you through what we did in order, and we'll have some fun and whatnot. And when I'm saying we as well, that's me and my partner, which I struggle with that label because it makes us sound like a businessman or whatever. But then if I say girlfriend, that's a bit juvenile, isn't it? So yeah, I think once you're over a certain age, you can't really say girlfriend. So yeah, I'll just say her name from now on. She's called Ivy. The we is me and Ivy. Ivy and I, we went to Taichung Airport. And the airport is fucking nice. You know, one easy bus from mine, the 302, if you're planning to do the journey. And yeah, it just goes up the boulevard and then through the Shalu district, through the Shalalalalalu, Shalalalalalu, whatever. Yeah, the Shalu district. And yeah, one bus, and the whole airport is really little, so you can't really fuck everything up or anything up. So yeah, there's just two terminals all in one big building. You got domestic, you've got international. And yeah, when you're in there, it's pretty much like, right, are you guys on the domestic flight or are you on the international flight? There's not really options. They're, you know what I mean? Both terminals are only ever managing one set of people. So each of them just got one set of bags. There's just one plane for each terminal sort of thing. And it's easy, really easy. So we got in there 2 hours early. Out of habit, isn't it? Airports, you do that early as possible. But you could get away with getting there later. So if you do it, maybe give yourself an hour. Half an hour minimum, I'd say, for the domestic. But what else are you doing that day, you know? Get there early, get yourself some snacks or whatever and chill beans. But we only shared one checked bag. And then we just had our two little backpacks. So the whole process was fucking smooth, easy. And we went through the little ticket bag check bit. And then, you know, normally there's shops and whatnot on the other side. This, through the check-in bit, it was just nothing. There were some stairs that went up to a little weird liminal space. So you just go out there, and we were hoping to look at the planes and stuff, but you know what I mean? It's the plane you're watching is just the one you're going to get on. There's not planes coming in and out in that way. It's only little. And then, yeah, down the stairs, there's just a couple of little rooms with toilets in and stuff. Bathrooms, you might call them. And fancy toilets in there as well. And they had, you know, the little control panel at the side. They're the ones, the Japanese ones, that clean your ass for you. Lovely. So I remember sitting there. Let's say I used them to their full potential. And there was a little slogan on the cubicle wall. And, well, you've heard of see it, say it, salt it from the British trains and stuff. Stop, drop and roll if you're ever on fire. That's a good one to remember. But this one, for the toilet, for the fancy toilet, was stop, spray, bidet. That's nice, isn't it? But, you know, I'm not sure if it works because spray and bidet are kind of the same thing. But yeah, a lovely rhyme nonetheless. And stop, spray, bidet. You know, you could say the full filler. If you see something which doesn't look right, speak to the toilet minions or text the British Toilet Police. Remember, stop, spray, bidet. I mean, a little tip from the top, actually. Here's the order of what you got to do your business. Obviously, you shit, then you stop shitting, then wipe, all like normal so far. And then once you've wiped, then you do the spray slash bidet sort of thing. So, oh yeah, and then you wipe again. So, yeah, you don't really want to spray the water straight onto the crime scene, if you get what I'm saying. I mean, you might get away with it, but I mean, why add an element of chaos into that moment, you know? So why make it unpredictable? So keep it simple. You got to shit, wipe, spray, wipe. That's the way. And yeah, that could be a nice little tongue twister for you as well. Shit, wipe, spray, wipes. Shit, wipe, spray, wipes. Shit. I can't even say it. Shit, wipe, spray, wipe. Shit, wipe, spray, wipe. That's the new red lorry, yellow lorry, if anyone's interested. And, or maybe you should do sit, shit, spray, wipe, wash or something. There's a thing. You can have some fun with that. But, yeah, anyway, we're not even on the fucking plane yet. So we got on the plane. Lovely little plane with the external propellers on the wings. And, yeah, the whole flight was easy. It was only about 40 minutes. And Ivy's got the whole thing in a time lapse, the whole journey, because she's fucking cool. And yeah, we flew in into Penghu, and yeah, had a nice little guava juice on the way. And you'd think, with it being Mandarin Airlines, you'd have thought they'd have had orange juice, mandarins, but there you go. And then at the airport, I'd sorted out a pickup. And yeah, there was just this lovely lad waiting with a sign, and he'd spelt my name right on there. Really nice. And yeah, the airport itself is on the fashionable east side of the main island, but we were staying on the west side, in just west of Magong or Margong City, like near the harbour and shit. And yeah, so our new mate drove us across the island, and then we checked into the hotel. It was all about, you know, 10-15 minutes, the whole process. Perfect hotel, right in the mixer, close to, you know, all the activities and shit. But yeah, and right above the bus station. Annoyingly, well, it's called the Rainbow Hotel, but they shortened it to RB, which should have been RH, but you know, I didn't make that stylistic choice for them. They I don't know, whatever they've done there. And it sounds shit to be above a bus station, but if you're up in the floors, doesn't matter, does it? And yeah, so we were up there, and at the bottom they had a Family Mart as well, a convenience store, all inside the building. So not luxury in the sort of luxury sense. Well, the luxurious element was the ease, the location. And yeah, although it was a short flight, it was a quite late flight. I think it was sort of 4 or 5 o'clock-ish. So the first night was really confusing. Yeah, we went out for a walk, you know, just to get our bearings and that. But because the busy season hadn't kicked in yet, it was fucking dead, like empty, eerie. All of these creaking boats just tied up and no lights on or anything. And yeah, we were just walking around the harbour and stuff. And this was a Saturday night as well. So we're thinking, what the hell's happened here, sort of thing. But peaceful nonetheless. And you see all the, you know, all the potential of life all sort of pending. But yeah, we walked all around the harbour a bit and through this little park that had a statue of some dolphins, which was nice, all lit up in different colours and stuff, which was weird, but again, nice. And yeah, had the little stroll, and then yeah, and even if you've had a short flight, it does take it out of you, doesn't it? It does sort of knock you out. So we just called it there for the first night, and that was the Saturday. And then Sunday, day two, this is the tour day, my birthday. We got up early to go and meet the tour. This was at the visitor centre, down in one of the harbours. And then, yeah, in the morning, there was more, a lot more life. All the hustle and bustle was back, you know, like, because the whole island runs on fishing and tourists, and we were out of season. So, yeah, it was just loads of fishing and boats and that, and lads, tying knots or whatever else they do. And, yeah, we walked past a couple of these big ice-making factory things as well, and they had these massive conveyor belts that take massive chunks of ice over the road, and then it just grinds it up in this machine just that's at the side of the road sort of thing. And you can either drive up in your truck and yeah, they'll put the ice straight in and it can turn, so you either get the ice into your truck or straight into your boat, and then you've got all your ice fresh for your day, whatever, just to keep your fish nice and fresh or whatever. And yeah, we got to the meeting place for the tour and had a nice little safety briefing and all that stuff. You know, the kind of thing, like it's just some lad pointing at a map with a big stick, and it was all in Chinese, so we just nodded along, tried not to look confused. And then yeah, boat time. And I've said it before, I'll say it again, I used to fucking hate boats. Or, well, to be more honest, boats used to scare me back in the day. But now, though, no problem. And we had a belly full of dodgy boat pills that we bought from a local chemist. And yeah, I think a lot of the boat thing used to be a lot of just me overthinking kind of thing, and closing my eyes as well. When you're on it, where you should really just keep your eyes on the horizon, on the prize. And yeah, we got a nice seat up on the top. Yeah, so you could look out over the water and stuff. And then, yeah, off we went. And we left from what I've been calling the main island, the one with Margong City on. That island is called Hoko Island or Hoko Island. And then the next stop was going to be Dongjiu Island. And the boat over was really nice. Like, this was the sort of the gamble, you know. We could have had a bit of choppy sea or whatever. But no, it was calm, and calm most of the way. And yeah, it was sunny as well. But they'd placed a nice little shady roof thing up, which was nice. It was magic. So before we got onto that island, you know, before we'd done the full journey, they drove the boat up and we looked at some of the smaller islands, all the nice rocks and stuff. And we probably pissed off some of the local fishing lads as well, scaring away their fish. But yeah, we were taking photos of them, and that was all pretty cool as well. And then, yeah, the island, Dongjiu Island, whatever it's called, we got off the boat and, yeah, there was a little settlement on, we were on the fashionable west side of that island, which was really cool. And there was a little temple there and stuff, but it was all kind of run down and we're not sure what happened there, but it was like all the buildings were falling apart. And the tour was in Chinese, so we couldn't really ask, but I assumed it was maybe typhoon damage or earthquake damage maybe, but maybe it had just been left for a while kind of thing. But yeah, it was still nice, and we had a little bit of time there, so we just trekked up to see the lighthouse up in the north. It was a mad little island as well, like all covered in sort of this brown scrubland. And there's loads of goats there, and yeah, it was just really nice. And yeah, the goat farmers, they all had mad little trucks and stuff. And because it's probably easier just to make your own vehicles out there rather than get one imported over or whatever from the mainland. And yeah, they all had these funky little scooters and trucks and things, which is really cool. And I'll put up some pictures of them on the Instagram so you can have a look, but really nice. And yeah, so it was time to leave that island, and then we got back on the boat and it was time to head to Chime again. And on the way, one more time, we stopped by some more islands to look at all the rocks again and wildlife and caves and stuff. Really cool. And the driver was really skilled. He got the boat up to like really close up to the rocks and stuff. But yeah, got some nice pictures and that. And then we got to Chime and we did a whole loop of the island, because on there we'd sorted out a little bus tour. Well, it was all part of the package thing. And yeah, it was kind of like a hop on, hop off sort of jobby, looking at temples and rock forms and all that kind of stuff. And yeah, Chime's the island that's got most of the places that you'll see if you type the Penghu Islands into the internet. You know, I mean, you've got there's the Twin Heart Rocks and Mini Taiwan and all that stuff. And of course there's people selling tat and there's local food and stuff as well. That was nice. Kind of like they had all sort of like squid jerky laid out and all that kind of stuff. And fun fact, the name Chime means seven beauties, and it comes from a local legend about seven women who chose to die together rather than be captured by pirates. Yeah, I looked that up for you. That's nice, isn't it? A bit of prep. And yeah, I'll maybe get more about that story, but it sounds pretty funky. And so yeah, we left the seven beauties, and then it was back on the boat, back up north, heading to the mainland. And yeah, on the way we went to a few more sort of islands and islets and stuff. Past the island of Wang An, which is where the Wangkers live, maybe. And yeah, it was another long boat ride, but again, with a belly full of boat pills, no problem again. Easy, smooth sailing, quite literally. But by that time, this was getting a bit later in the day, the sun was at a weird angle now. So even though we had the little shade thing and I had sun cream on, I did get burned a bit. And I got that nice burn you get when you're wearing a baseball cap, and then it only burns like a little circle through the hole at the back. So yeah, after that day I looked like I had a tattoo of a Japanese flag on the back of my head, which I'm sure the locals loved. And then yeah, that was the tour. So got off the boat, back to the reality, and we headed out to the little port bit for sunset, which yeah, it was really nice. We were quite close to the Rainbow Bridge and stuff. This massive bridge, which I'm not sure where it's bridging to, but it's pretty. And yeah, that whole area, it's all walled off as well. So it's like it's the sea, but it is like a swimming pool kind of thing. And you just see lads in there just doing laps, which is quite cool. You know, doing a couple of lengths at sunset. I like the romance of that. Well, it's kind of like one of those things where, you know, it's nice to watch, and you get the idea that you'd think you'd like it if it was you, but it's probably actually pretty grim if you're actually the one doing it. But yeah. And then that night, I had a nice little birthday meal and stuff. And yeah, they wrote my name on the plate and all that. Happy birthday. And that was nice. And then, yeah, that was Sunday, the birthday day. Done. And then it was Monday morning, the final day. And yeah, we had the complimentary breakfast checked out and stuff, but we weren't flying until the afternoon, so we left our bags in a little cubby bit in the Rainbow Hotel, the little storage area, and then yeah, walked about. This was the day to explore the main island, so we ended up walking up and seeing, well, what until that point we'd been calling the Big Girl, this massive bronze statue, which I found out later. I mean, I looked it up. Wait a minute, this is seamless. Yeah, okay, so it's called the Chongguang Mazu Tongxiang. And it's a statue of Mazu, who is a Chinese sea goddess, and at a height of 48 meters, it is the tallest statue of its kind in the world. She is believed to protect people at sea, and she can bring safety and blessings. Penghu has a very strong Mazu tradition, with historic sites like the Penghu Tianho Temple, and it's the oldest Mazu temple in Taiwan. The Chongguang statue represents faith and protection, and it's important for the cultural identity, and it's a modern landmark promoting tourism and heritage. And why is it special? It's not just a statue, it's the centerpiece of a large cultural park project, and yeah, it's a symbol of revival and persistence, and it offers a panoramic view of the sea, reinforcing Mazu's role as a guardian watching over the ocean. So yeah, that's the info that we didn't know any of that at the time, so we just enjoyed that big statue and took loads of pictures and stuff. And you might have seen it already, but I got a massive picture of me. Well, the picture's not massive. Oh God, losing my voice. Oh, delicious. Yeah, I got a picture of me standing in front of the statue, and his statue is so big you can barely see me at the bottom. So that's nice. But yeah, that was cool. And then from there, we went to the Penghu Living Museum, and in there, loads of nice stuff in there, like all sort of fishing stuff mainly. And we learned the history of life on Penghu and how they grow their crops and all this sort of stuff. But the best bit was a section about Penghu pregnancy and superstitions and stuff. And yeah, I've got a list here that, again, I've just pulled from the internet. But yeah, this is similar to what I read in the museum, so I'm just going to share this with you. And yeah, I think I'll just read some of these superstitions. So obviously, Penghu is all about fishing, and it's got, like, it's the Taoist Buddhist beliefs and whatnot. But they, yeah, I don't know if this is only Penghu, but they think, yeah, that you should avoid, if you're pregnant, or, you know, these are the superstitions for protecting pregnant women and unborn babies, right? So first of all, they need to avoid the sea at night, because Penghu is deeply tied to the ocean and spirits of those lost at sea. Pregnant women are often told not to go near the ocean after dark. It's believed wandering spirits or yin energy could affect the baby. And this connects to reverence for Mazu, who protects sailors, but people still avoid taking risks. Number two, it's pregnant women are supposed to stay away from funerals or cemeteries. So, yeah, if they visit a grave or go to a cemetery, then because of the yin energy there, it's believed that it could disturb the fetus or bring bad luck. But if it's unavoidable, they may carry protective charms or wear red. So yeah, the next superstition is about wearing red. It's meant to ward off negative spirits and ensure a smooth pregnancy. While they're pregnant as well, pregnant women don't use scissors on the bed, or they're not allowed to hammer nails in the floor or into the walls, because it's symbolically, doing this is harming the baby, and it could cause deformities like cleft lips. And this is a widespread, this is a widespread Chinese belief, but still heard in the Penghu households. I won't go into these others, but yeah, they're not allowed to move furniture or renovate. Then they're supposed to step over ropes, and they're not allowed to get involved with fishing nets or interact with animals. I guess that's just good advice anyway. And then they're supposed to avoid inauspicious places and times. So don't wander alone at night. I guess this is all just good advice anyway. And the last one, don't scare the mother. So if you scare a pregnant woman, it will affect the baby's temperament. And in older beliefs, it might even scar the baby physically. Crazy, but, not crazy, but yeah, interesting. And yeah, so these customs are shaped by island life, living near the dangerous seas with frequent historical deaths at sea. And then it backs up with strong devotion to deities and a worldview of balancing yin and yang. That's pretty cool, isn't it? But loads of superstitions if you're pregnant, and well, I suppose just in general there. And there was another bit about predicting babies' futures. I've got this here as well. Wait a minute. So at around 1 year old, so this is every baby in Penghu, when they're one, the baby is placed in front of various objects, and then they're not influenced by their parents. They just they wait until the baby picks one, and then the item that the baby grabs is believed to hint at their future career or personality. So if they grab a book, they're going to be a scholar, or they're going to be academic. If they go for money, then they're going to be wealthy. If they grab a pen, then they're going to be educated or a writer. If they go for a calculator, they're going to be good at finance. If they go for food, then they're never going to go hungry. They're going to have good fortune. If they go for a tool, then they're going to be good at crafts. And if they go for a brush or art items, then they're going to be creative, which is interesting. And it says here that families in Penghu may also include fishing-related items or marine things. So maybe they put those things closer, because chances are if you're born on Penghu, you're probably going to... Well, if you stay on Penghu, you're going to work in the tourism industry or in the fishing industry. But indeed, you might go to the mainland or beyond. And then, when I'm saying mainland there, I'm meaning Taiwan. But, So lovely little museum. And then, yeah, we walked around the island some more, had some Thai food, and we walked into that restaurant actually exactly as it started raining. There was no hint of rain for the whole walk, and then we'd walked around for ages, but as soon as we were in the doors, there was this mad downpour. So we watched that and had some curry, and yeah. And then it all just cleared up just in time for us to go to the airport. So that was Penghu. And one last thing, we got the flight back, and just as everyone was standing up at the end, you know what I mean, like fucking around with all the bags and stuff, I saw a couple of my old students. And their mum took some pictures and stuff, and that was really nice. Made me feel a bit like being a celebrity or something. You know, Teacher Jack, blah, blah, blah. But yeah, this kid was just staring at me. I was like, I know that boy. He was an old terror from an old what we call pre-E class, the young lads. But good to see them again. And let's call it there. So thanks for listening, team. The tidbits pod with the sort of feedy homepage bit, it might look a little bit unusual in the coming weeks, because I'm trying to get it all sorted out for the new Patreon members. So I'm going to do film watch-alongs, and also I'm doing a kind of Sounds of Taiwan diary. You know, I'm hoping people are going to use those for like sleep tapes or whatever. It's not going to be talking, just sort of like atmosphere or whatever, that kind of thing. And yeah, I recorded one of those. We were out in a place called Miao Li yesterday, and I recorded one of this pond that had loads of mad frogs and that. But yeah, once I figure out how to make all that Patreon only, then you might see that pop up on your normal area with like a padlock on it or whatever. But yeah, to listen to that, all you need to do is subscribe to the Patreon. So if you want to get involved, join the Tidbits Pod Patreon. That's patreon.com/tidbitspod. And on there, there's a cheapy tier where you'll get some of the extras, and it's just nice to get involved. But then there's the break-even tier, which that's the one where you get the full bells and whistles and stuff. And yeah, I've looked into it as well. And although I live in Taiwan, the earnings I make on that Patreon will be taxed in the UK. So yeah, by investing in the podcast, you're becoming a pillar of the UK's infrastructure as well, with the tax. So yeah, maybe one day it will just be banking, retail, energy, and Tidbits Pod propping up all of the hospitals and the roads and all that good stuff in the UK. So that's fun, isn't it? And yeah, maybe one day we'll earn enough to get a new pipe. But it's all just pipe dreams, isn't it, at the end of the day? So thanks again for listening, and I hope you're all well. And yeah, that's it for now. I will see you later. If you see something that doesn't look quite right, consult your anus, or indeed, text the British Toilet Foundation. Sit, spray, bidet. Thank you.